it's the right time.
We have another minute and a half.
Okay. There were 50 shilas. I didn't get to any of them. They're very detailed.
What was the best one?
They're all good. They come up. Everything comes up.
Is Rabbi going to give a separate session to go over them? Or?
Nah, I don't think so. I didn't plan to. I didn't pick the title. So I thought my intention was just to give an introduction to the din. Today, Basa B'Cholav also. I'll give an introduction to Hilchus Basa B'Cholav. Pasuk in Chumash appears three times. Also, Vashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo. That is an Isa Bishul Pasuk B'Cholav. Then the Torah Shabbat Per Adzana. Not only is it also Labashel, it's also Bachila as well. And then there's a Machlekes Hatanaim. Is it also Bahano? We accept the Psak Halacha that all three are also. Also B'Bishul, also Bachila, also Bahano Minator. We assume everything is Minator, but the prohibition of Basa B'Cholav only applies menator b'bsar behema, by oaf, by chicken. There's a machlekes hatanoim, whether it's deraisa derabbanan. There is some taisus and one of paskan that b'sar ef b'cholav is deraisa, but basically that's not the accepted opinion. We paskan that chicken is only derabbanan, and chaya, if you have b'sar chaya with cholav, that's also machlekes hatanoim, whether that's deraisa derabbanan. The accepted opinion is that Besar Chaya is also only awesome with the Rabbanon. Deer's meat, we have kosher meat, deer's meat, it's only awesome with the Rabbanon. Whenever the Basa B'Cholav is also with the Rabbanon, it's Mutta B'Bishul and Mutta B'Hano. Whenever it's Basa B'Cholav D'Araisa, then it's all three are Rasa, Asa B'Bishul, Asa B'Achila, and Asa B'Hano. Rav Soloveitchik said that he had once had a Shaila, someone was drafted in the army and they wanted him to work in the kitchen to cook the food, so they wanted him to cook Basa B'Cholav for the Goyisha soldiers. So to cook chicken and butter, that's okay, because chicken and butter is only with the Rabbanan. But to cook meat with milk, meat with butter, that's Basa B'Cholav D'Araisa, that is not allowed to cook. What else do you have Basa B'Cholav D'Rabbanan? The Gemara says Derech Bishul Asur Torah. It's only awesome in a Torah if they cook together. If you have Kavush, if it's not cooked together, the milk is, let's say you have the container of milk is on one shelf, and there's a hole in the container, and it's dripping into the container of flesh on the shelf below. The meat is cooked already, so just it's sitting on a puddle of milk, and this milk sits there for 24 hours, so it's kavush kamavushon. The meat is soaking in the milk, so it has a bliya, but the bliya is not al yidei bishul. See, if I'll heat it on the fire, then I'll make it into Basa B'Cholav D'Araisa. If I don't heat it on the fire, I'll just eat it the way it is. So that's only Basa B'Cholav D'Rabbanan. If the tziruf of the meat and the milk is only B'Tzainan, it's Ayidei Moliach, I salted it together, Ayidei Kavishka Mevushal, that's only Basa B'Cholav D'Rabbanan. So again, that would only be Asa B'Achila, and B'Bishal U'B'Hanoah, that would be Mutter. What's an example of Hanoah? Let's say, for example, by mistake, or let's say you'll cook meat by mistake, you cook the meat in a milchik pot. So if the milchik pot is still ben yomo, then the bli of the milk is still fresh, it's nice and tam l'shvach. So then we assume that usually you don't have shishim in the contents of the pot against the thickness of the walls. We don't know how much milk was nibbled into the wall. So the Gemara says you have to be mishaken neged kulo. You have to visualize as if the whole thickness of the walls is balua with milk. So if you have a big factory, you can have a room that you can have a pot that's the size of this room. So if you have a very gigantic pot, you will have shishim, and the contents of the pot can neged the thickness of the walls. But usually pots are not so big. So a normal pot, we assume usually it's normal to have shloshim in the contents in the pot against the thickness of the walls. It's very unusual to have shishim. If you cook a pot of soup, so the soup is filled to the top, usually you don't have shishim unless it's a very big pot and the walls are very thin, then sometimes you will have shishim, usually you don't have. So let's say you cooked the flesh in a milchik pot that's still benyomo. Benyomo means that it's within 24 hours that it was cooked, that the flesh was cooked before. After 24 hours, the Gemara says on the last daf in Maseches Avodah Zarah that a kli she'ein benyomo, we assume is going to be nosen tam levgam most of the time. Kli she'ein benyomo is nosen tam levgam. If you have a wooden barrel that you stored wine in, so then it doesn't become nosen tam levgam. That's how they age. They put schnapps into sherry casks, and the wine was taken out a long time ago. And the flavor of the wine remains nice and tam neshvach in the cask. So wine is an exception to the rule. But usually we assume that other things that are nivla into the doifen of the gedera, so the doifen of the gedera, if it's sitting in the charses hagedera for 24 hours, it'll be nice and tam legam. So when the Torah says you have to kasha trefe kelim, so the Gemara says on the last daf in Avodah Zarah, also Torah l'kadera bas yayim. The prohibition, the din d'oraisa, only applies when it's within the first day. But if the kli hasn't been used in the last 24 hours for treifus, then it's only gzeira d'rabban. Gzeira ein ben yomo, auto ben yomo. Let's say I cooked meat in a milchik pot within 24 hours. I assume that it's still nes and tam neshvach. Usually you don't have shishim in the contents of the pot against the thickness of the wall, so we would say that the food is treif. Is that basa b'cholav d'oraisa? Is that only basa b'cholav d'rabbanan? So most of the Darkei Tshuva quotes a major machlekes achreinim about that. I would have said that it's only basa b'cholav d'rabbanan. A person is interested in giving the flavor of the milk into the meat. He's going to pour milk. He's not going to cook the meat in a milchik pot. He's not going to get so much flavor from the milk. Maybe it's because I live in this generation that all the pots are stainless steel. So stainless steel, they say, is not balea at all. It's even balea less than glass. So maybe that's why I think like that. But that's the Darkei Tshuva quotes from the early Achrayim, the major Achrayim say that that's bas b'chol of d'oraisa. The major Achrayim say it's bas b'chol of d'oraisa. And the minority opinion is that it's only bas b'chol of d'rabban. If you cook the meat and the milk when it... cook the meat in the milchik pot after it's ein ben yomo. So b'riyevet it doesn't asa. L'chatchili you shouldn't do it. Zeir ein ben yomo to ben yomo, but b'riyevet it doesn't asa. So that's why we need two sets of dishes and two sets of pots. You have to have fleshig and milchik. The Ra'or was an original thinker, a Baron Halevi. He was a descendant of the Balamor. Balamor was also a very original thinker. And the Ra'or had a brother, Rabbeinu Pinchas. He was a very original thinker. And the Ritva quotes a lot of times from the Rabbeinu Pinchas, Achi Rabbeinu. He quotes from the Ra'or. They always have something. Just the Ra'or only had one set of pots. They only had one set of dishes. And he waited till it was Ein Ben Yomo. So the Ritva, at the end of Avodah Zarah, says his students were pleading with him. Rebbe, we know that you're right. He said that the Gzer Ein Ben Yomo, the Ben Yomo was only made when it's Yisura Bola, if the pot was Balea Trefus. If it has kashrus in it, so that whenever goes there, the Gzera the Rabban. So the Talmidim didn't want to hurt his feelings, so they said, Rebbe, we know that you're right, but everyone says Yashegetz. So just Mishum Arisayan, maybe you should have two sets of pot. No. Emes is Emes. He's not going to have two sets of dishes, not going to have two sets of pot. There is no such thing. Okay, so his opinion has not been accepted. But Rebbe Kevega has a tshuva where he's a little bit mitzarefet. Sometimes they mitzaref that sheet. For example, if you have a kli cheres, earthenware dishes, china dishes. So the Gemara says, based on the Pasuk in Chumash, that Hatorah he'idal kli cheres and he yotze midei dof yol yolam. Hagola doesn't help. The Gemara said if you do Liban, it will make it kosher, but if you do Hagola the Kalcheris, it doesn't help. So the Tur quotes an opinion of the Baloiter that if you do Hagola the Kalcheris when it's Eina Beyomo, when it's Eina Beyomo, it's only an Issa de Rabbana, because it's really Nosen Tam Lebram, it's only Xer Eina Beyomo at the Benyomo. So the Tur quotes from the Baloiter that since the whole Bli is only with the Rabbana, it's a Chumra with the Rabbana. So if you do Hagola three times, it'll help. Where does that come from? That's a Yerushalmi. That if you have a Kalicheris, that was only Balea. What is Yerushalmi talking about? I think Truma Bizman Hazeh, which is only Midirabbanon. So even though we assume that Hagola doesn't help any Kalicheris, but the whole Balea is only a Truma Bizman Hazeh, which is only the Rabbanon. So then Yerushalmi says Hagola Gimel Pami would help. It's an Issa de Rabbanan Kal. We divide the Issa de Rabbanan into different categories. Issa de Rabbanan Kal, Issa de Rabbanan Chama. So the Baloiter is of the opinion. Baloiter was one of the Baloiters. He lived in Marseille in France. The book is available in all the stores. Two volumes, the Baloiter. So the Baloiter is quoted by the Tur that if you have any Trefa Kli that's Ein Ben Yoma, if you do Hagola Gimel Pami, it'll help. So we really don't pass on like that. Then there's a shita with the Chacham Tzvi has a tshuva that the Gemara says in the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah, if you have a wine barrel and you drink kosher wine and you drank all the wine, let's say it was trefa wine, Goyim had a trefa wine and they drank all the wine, the barrel is sitting empty for a whole year, for 12 months. So the Gemara says Stam Yenim is only an Issa de Rabbanim Shem Chasnus, because it may lead to intermarriage. It's a Gzeira, the whole thing. It's a Issa de Rabbanim Kal. It's not as Chomer as Besarev Pecholah. Besarev Pecholah is more Chomer. So because it's an Issa de Rabbanim Kal, so the Gemara says that if the Kli Cheres, if the earthenware barrel that the Goyim held the wine in was empty for 12 months, we assume it doesn't have any Bli at all. After Eina Ben Yomo, it still has a Bliya, and by wine we assume that the Bliya is going to be Nosen, still going to be Nosen Tam Neshvach, won't even become Nosen Tam Levgam. But after 12 months, it does not have a Bliya at all. So the Chachman Tzvi thinks that that should apply to all Trefa Kelim. If you have a Trefa Kli that hasn't been used for 12 months, you don't have to kashu at all. So that opinion has not been accepted. So you have three opinions that have not been accepted, but maybe the Tziruf of all of them together, let's say you have a fleshig earthenware pot that's Eina Ben Yomo. So according to the Ra'or, you can use it already for milchus, just clean it out. You can, the Gzeir Eina Ben Yomo, the Miyomo was never made. And even if you hold, we don't follow the Ra'or, but the Tur quoted from the Balwit, if you do Hagola Gimel Pomim on the Klicheris, let's say you have a China dish. And the China dishes were used for fleshiks, and it hasn't, the China dishes from your great grandmother, and it hasn't been used in 20 years. So you want to kasher it now? You want to make it milchik? You want to make it parva? Whatever. So can you do that? So according to the Ra'or, you don't even have to kasher at all. According to the, we don't accept the Ra'or. You have to kasher, but it's cheres. So the Baloiter is of the opinion that a klicheris that's trefein ben yami do hagola gimel pamim, it'll help. And even if you hold, we don't follow that Baloiter, but if it's already hasn't been used in 12 months, then Rabbi Kiveg is mitzarf all the three opinions, none of them. We don't pass like any of them, but the tzir of all of them together, Rabbi Kiveg is in the tshuva is prepared to be mekal on that. What does it mean hagola gimel pamim? Dip it in three times into the same pot. So why should that be better? HaTorah has said in Shulchan Aruch, the Mefarshim explain, means that you dip it into three different pots. Maybe Hagola doesn't help on a Klicheris. We're not sure. Maybe it does help, maybe it doesn't help. We're not when you do Hagola on any metal Kli, you assume the Hagola removes the whole Bliya. But if you do Hagola on a Klicheris, you can never tell. Maybe yes, maybe no. So if you do Hagola in three different Kalim, there are three different fires. So maybe this Hagola didn't work, maybe the other one will work, maybe that one didn't work, maybe the third one will work. So that's Rabbi Kivega's kulam, that if you do Hagola Gimel Pamim on the Milchik Kli, when it's not been used for 12 months, there's room to be mekel with the whole tzirif of all the three shittas together. So let's say by mistake you cooked the meat in a milchik pot, or you cooked milk in a fleshik pot, then it is ben yom. So it becomes awesome. So most of the Achranim hold that it's awesome in a Torah. Awesome in a Torah, so it's also b'hano. If you would assume like that minority opinion, I thought the minority opinion made more sense. But then I saw all the major guns all say not so. The Placey, Rabbi Yonis and Abishitz, and the Chavis Das, and all the major Achranim, they all hold that that's basa b'chol of their eyes. So if it's basa b'chol of their eyes, then it's also b'hano. So you can't even give it to the next door neighbor. Let's say my next door neighbor is a goy. So I want to give it to him. So whenever you give, so usually there's an isa lois hachonim. You're not allowed to give a matona, matas chinam, to a nochri. But if it's a nochri hamakiro, then we assume it's not going to be a matas chinam. He's my Shabbos goy. Whenever I need someone to turn on the lights, I call him my next door neighbor. So I'm allowed to give him a matona because he's sometimes when they deliver a package and I'm not there, so the next door neighbor will take it in. So he does tevis to me. So whenever it's an achri hamakiro, says when you give him a matona, it's not a violation of lo sechonim because it's not considered matan chinam. You're probably going to get something back in exchange. So therefore, if you have real basam b'chol of deraisa, by mistake you cooked basam b'chol of deraisa, then you can't give it to the next door neighbor. You can't give it to the cleaning lady, the goyisha cleaning lady, because mistama they're going to do some toiva. Cleaning lady never gives us, she's not my Shabbos goy, but she's probably going to do something in exchange for us. So then you're getting hanoa from it. You're not, if it's bas, whatever it's basa b'chol of the raisa, it's also b'hanoa also. Whenever it's only basa b'chol of the rabbanon, then the Mishnah says, Shulchan Aruch quotes the Mishnah, that it's only also b'achila, it's muta b'hanoa, muta b'bishul. What about tigun? So those are learned Sanhedrin on Daf Dalet. The Gemara has a whole discussion on Daf Dalet. Whenever you have a conflict between the Kriya and the Ksiv, there's a conflict with Psak Halacha, the Paschal like the Kriya, the Paschal like the Ksiv. So that's a major machlokes Hatanan, where they say Yeshem La Mikra, we follow the Kri, or Yeshem La Masoris, we follow the Masoretic text, the way the Ksiv is. So that's a machlokes. The Gemara quotes different cases where the machlokes appears, different issues. So one of the issues is about Basa B'cholam. So from that Gemara, some Achrayim understood or misunderstood, that's the whole deal, that if you do tigun, if you're frying meat with butter, if you're frying it, that's only the Rabbanim. If you cook meat with milk, soaking it, that's the rice. If you do tzliya, that's also basa b'chol of the rice. If you do tigun, there's some Achrayim held that that's only basa b'chol of the Rabbanim. Poshe Pshat Gemara is not so. Pashtus says that it's not so. One of the questions that someone submitted about Basa B'cholov was based on a mistake. There's some fellow in Australia who advertised incorrectly. He advertised that he has a Ben Pekua farm and the Ben Pekua is Parava. So that's a mistake. He read it wrong. Ben Pekua is not Parava. Ben Pekua means if I shecht the pregnant cow and then the vlad comes out after you shecht the mother, so the mother is fleshig and the uber is fleshig, everything is fleshig. What the poskim said is that the milk, when the ben pekua is born and then it grows up and it's a female and it has milk, so that's that cholov is only the rabbanon, because cholov shchuta is only the rabbanon, and that's a chiddush. Cholov shchuta means like this: I shechted a female cow and then there's milk in the udder. So when the milk in the udder is going to, the udder is full of basa b'cholov. The udder is fleshy, and the milk gives it a whole funny flavor. So that's called cholov shchuta, the cholov that came out after you shechted the cow. You didn't milk the cow before you shechted it. Here, by the ben pekua, you did milk the ben pekua is born and is jumping around and lives up maybe asim shana, and then it has milk. It's a female has milk. So that's a chiddush. The Achrayim came up since I shechted the mother, and halachically the shechita on the mother is chal on the uber as well. So any milk that the uber has is chal of shchuta. That's a chiddush. That's a chiddush. So that's what the poskim quoted. So this fellow in Australia misread it. He thought that the flesh of the ben pekua is parva. That's ridiculous. Why should it be parva? He simply misread it. The poskim said the milk is parva min ha-Torah. Chol of shchut, that's only milchik midrabban. That's also highly questionable, whether that's correct. Chol of shchut could mean the milk that you squeeze out from the udder after the animal is dead. But here you're squeezing out the milk from the ben pekua when the ben pekua is still alive. That's not so poshut. Then the Gemara has a din of not barnat. Some people thought that the Wayu, everything is full of Rashi Tevis. Wayu, B-R-G-S, A-E-C-O-M, everything is Rashi Tevis. So they thought that not barnat was invented in Wayu. It wasn't invented in Wayu, it's in Yerideya. Not barnat stands, no, really, people. People thought that Wayu invented that Rashi Tevis. Not all the good things come from Wayu. Some of the good things come from the Gemara. So not barnat is in the Gemara. Nois and tam bar nois and tam. So it means like this. I have a milchik pot that I cook milchiks in for breakfast, and now it's lunchtime, so it's still ben yomo. So if I... it's already a bit... Let me give a case that everyone agrees, and then I'll tell you that. Then we'll discuss the shayla that they disagree. Let's say I have a fleishig... I have a fleishig plate, and I just had fleishigs for lunch. Burning hot. I put burning hot steak on the plate, so the plate was balea fleishigs for lunch. Now for supper, my wife makes parve fish, and I take the fish, burning hot piece of fish from the frying pan, and I put it on the fleishig plate. So it's burning hot, so it's going to take out a blia of the fleishigs from the plate, and the plate is still a ben yom, it's within the last 24 hours. So now I want to know, can I take that piece of fish, that dogm sha'olu b'kaira, burning hot fish, were put on a cold plate, and the cold plate has a fleishig blia from lunch, within 24 hours. So do I say that since the fish is burning hot, and it's going to get the blia from the flesh, from the plate, now the fish becomes fleishig, and you're not allowed to eat it with butter? Or no? So the Gemara says, dogm sha'olu b'kairo, I put the burning hot fish on top of a fleishig plate, muta lo'ochlam b'kutach, because it's nice and tam by nice and tam. If you actually have meat mixed into the fish, the Gemara says that fish with meat is a sakana that you may develop tzaras. So what's the whole case in the Gemara? What's going on over here? So that's another discussion. The Mogan Avram thinks that in every generation you have to follow the doctors of your generation. So in the generation of the Gemara, they listen to the Goyisha doctors who said that that's unhealthy. Mogan Avram says it's many centuries that we haven't seen anybody get sick, not Jews, not non-Jews. Nobody gets sick from the fish and the meat. And he thinks that there's no more sakana. Whatever it was in the days of Gemara, whether correct or incorrect, today it's not a sakana. Nechaz HaMseifer says the Rambam was a doctor, and he left out that Gemara because the Rambam felt, Rambam knew based on the medicine of his generation that meat and fish is not a sakana. Okay, so that's a question. That's a question whether that still applies today. And the Shulchan Aruch, they quote that the fish and the meat that were cooked together, if they weren't cooked together, let's say there's a buffet, so you take some burning hot flesh and you put it on the plate, then you have some fish and you put it on the plate, they weren't cooked together, the fish was cooked separately and the flesh was cooked separately, so the Shach says that's not a sakana, even if you assume, like in the days of the Gemara, they assumed that it's a sakana, it's only if the two were cooked together. Yeah, they weren't cooked together, so the whole thing, the whole chashash doesn't apply. But the women always have two forks. They have a separate fork for the fish and a separate fork for the flesh because they're very concerned about this. The goyim also have two forks, but not because they're concerned about sakana. They don't want to mix the flavors. So they have a fish fork and a meat fork. For their reason, everybody has their own reason. Okay. So the Gemara has like this. If the blia of fleshiks in the fish is only because no one poured any schmaltz into the fish, it's just it was balea from the plate, and then so the fleishig blia in the plate is only in the sinas tam. There is no bien. I washed off the plate after I had the flake. I washed off the plate. There's only a blia in the plate. So then that blia in the plate, because the fish that I put on 5 hours later is burning hot, so it takes out the blia, and the blia of the flesh goes into the fish, and it's still. And it's still not basam b'cholov. So that's a nice and tam by nice and tam. The original tam is in the plate. And now this is a secondary tam from the plate into the fish. So nice and tam by nice and tam cannot become treif later on. Not by not, if it joins up with milk later on, doesn't become basa b'cholim. That's the din in the Gemara. Not by not is mutter. So Rashi had a son-in-law named the Rivon, I think in the end of Makkas, where Rashi conks out, so they have the Pirush or Rivon, the end of Makkas. So Tosis quotes that the Rivon, Rashi's son-in-law, claims that he heard from his father-in-law that it's only dogm sha'olu b'kaira, is not by not. But dogm sha'olu b'kaira means that the plate is cold and the dogim is burning hot. Or the plate is burning hot and the dogim are cold. One is hot, one is cold. But dogm sha'olu is bashla b'kaira, if you have a fleshik pot, and then you cook parva fish, a parva vegetable soup in the pot. So if it's a not banat, like they bishul, then it doesn't have the din of not banat. Then it's still considered like the tam rishon. Tosis thinks that it can't be. He must have had wax in his ears. He must have heard wrong. Rashi never said that. But in Shulchan Aruch, that's for Ashkenazim, that's the minute. Ashkenazim achoshesh, because the Rivon said he heard from Rashi that not banat, like they bishul, is also. So lechatchila we ask the shaila, even b'di'evet. What about b'di'evet, let's say? You cooked the vegetable soup in a fleshy pot. And then you pour it into a different pot that's a milchik pot. And then you cook it there again. So would you say that even b'di'evet arases? Or you just say lechatchila we don't do it? Because the Rivon says that Rashi said like that. Maybe b'di'evet. We go back, we follow the Ikar HaDin is like Tosis. So the Pashtus is like that, that b'di'evet would be mut. It's all discussion. Whole discussion in Shulchan Aruch, how far you go with the Chumr. The Shach says that even the Chumr, not by not, we're machme for the Rashi, but if it's not by not, then we're not even machme for the Rashi. So he gives you an example. He says, we do it all the time. Let's say if you have a trefa pot and you want to kasha the pot. So you do Hagola. So when you do Hagola, so the trefa blia goes from the pot into the water. So what's going to prevent it from going back into the pot? It'll make the pot treif again. So one opinion in Tosis is no. The pot is only boleya other blias, but the blia that it just spit out into the water is not going to go back in. So Tosis says, why has Ruach HaKodesh? The pot has Ruach HaKodesh, a Novi, v'chichul d'neviyahi. So a Novi to know what blia came from where, it doesn't make sense. Why should you say that it's not balea back? So that's a question. Whenever you do Hagola, what do you accomplish with the Hagola? Fine, the treif of blia goes into the water, it went out of the pot. What's to prevent it from going back into the pot? So if you're kashering a treif of pot that's eina ben yomo, so it's only a gzera midirabon, a gzera eina ben yomo, atum ben yomo. So once the blia goes into the water, even if it does come back in, now that Tchilas HaBliya is in Noisen Tam Levgam. So if the whole Tchilas HaBliya is Noisen Tam Levgam, then we're never Geyser. Then we're only Geyser if you cooked treif of food in the pot and it was Noisen Tam Leshvach. And then it sits there in the Charsus HaGzer, it sits for 24 hours, and the Bliya becomes Levgam, so then there were Geyser, Gzer, Eine Benyom, Ata Benyom. But if the Kli that you want to kasher hasn't been used in 24 hours, so when the Bliya goes into the water, even if it comes back into the pot, the tchidus ablia now is livgam. So the key agab nedachachamim whenever goes fine. So that's one way to solve the problem. Another way to solve the problem is make sure that you do hagola. You have a tray for fork. Make sure you do hagola in a gigantic pot where you're going to have shishim in the water against the whole thickness of the fork. So once the blia, tray for blia from the fork goes into the water, even it's going to come back in, but it's going to be bottled with shishim before it comes back in. So there are two ways to kasher a treif and kli. Either make sure the treif and kli is eina ben yomo, then you don't have to calculate whether you have shishim or not. Or if it's not eina ben yomo, you have to make sure that you have shishim. And then the meaning is that sometimes people can judge incorrectly. Not so easy to calculate shishim. So the meaning is that you always try to avoid kashering a treif and kli when it's a ben yomo. When it's eina ben yomo, so there's no problem. The treif ablia is going to go into the water, and then when it goes back into the pot, it'll be tchilas ablia levgam, and there won't be a problem. What if it's not a treif pot? What if it's a fleshig pot, and you want to make it parva, you want to make it milchik? So the all the rishonim say Tosfos and the Liz Daf and Avodah Zarah says, and all the balei Tosfos, the smag, and all the other those who quote from the Tosfos. They all say, if you have a fleshig pot, and there's no bien of flesh on the pot. So So it's just a tam. There's a tam, a flavor of flesh in the pot. So when you kasher it in the water, even if there's no shishim, the bliya, flesh of bliya, goes into the water. That's already not by not. Then it goes back from the water into the kli. There's nothing to prevent it from going back into the kli. Kli does not ruach hakodesh to know not to be balea back, but it just spit out. So that's going to be not by not by not. So even though when Machmir the Rivon claims that he heard from Rashi that not by not al yidei bishul, you should be Machmir that it does have tam. But if it's a not by not by not, it's the third. The scene is time already. So then even if Zayde Bishol, that's Hetagom. So that's where the Shach quotes Mole Rishon. Whenever you have not by not by not, I feel like they Bishol, that cannot be a problem, because that's how we kasher all the time. Strictly speaking, you really shouldn't have to, Tosfos says, and Shulchan Aruch says, you really shouldn't have to require, if you're kashering a fleshik pot to make it milchik, to make it parva, you really shouldn't have to require that it should be Eina B'yomo, because you don't even need, the whole reason why you wait, the minig developed that you don't kasher any tray for kelim with hagola. Liban you can do even when it's a ben yomo, that's not a problem. But you don't do hagola unless the kli is any ben yomo, because you may miscalculate whether you have shishim or not. So that reasoning, the whole chumrah, doesn't make sense by hetera bola. If you're talking about a fleshig pot and you want to make it parva, you want to make it milchik, so if it's fleshig, it's not treif, so it's going to be not by not by not. The kli is clean, you just have a fleshy bli in the pot. Fleshy bli is going to go into the water, that's going to be tam sheni, then it's going to go, nothing preventing it from going back into the kli, it's going to be tam shlishi. So tam shlishi, not ba not ba not, afei de bishul, is mutter. So it should be mutter to kasher. Tosfos says it's mutter to kasher fleshy kelim, hetera bola, when it's a ben yoma, even without shishim, that shouldn't be any problem. So the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Pesach quotes from the earlier Achrayim. But the meaning that developed, that you don't kasher any kelim that are ben yomo, even though the reason for the meaning only applies to trefa kelim, doesn't apply to fleshig and milchig kelim, you want to kasher it. So, but the meaning is there also. You try to avoid kashering fleshig kelim, kozman that it's ben yomo. If there's any slight tzorach, then we'll make them. I mentioned before about kashering, let's say a person has dishes, he has forks and knives and everything fleshig, and then he buys a new set for fleshig and wants to convert all the fleshig utensils to make the milchig. Oh, they're gonna switch everything around. So the Magen Avraham quotes an old minig that you don't kasher from fleshig to milchig, because you can get all confused. You're not going to remember whether this design means the fleshig or this design means that it's milchig. So there's a minig that you don't switch from fleshig to milchig. So I think the Achrayim say that the Sfardim don't have this minig. And that they're not so convinced Ashkenazim have the minig either. The Rosh HaShulchan is not so convinced that it's a minig by the Ashkenazim either. But that's what the Magen Avraham says. So that's what the many Ashkenazim have that practice, that you don't kasher. You don't change the whole, you don't convert the whole set from fleshig to milchig. So Moshe Feinstein has tshuvas. What if this is from the grandmother? Grandmother died 5 years ago, and now nobody remembers whether this set of silver was fleshig or milchig. So the whole thing is a minig, and it's a suffix in the first place, and it hasn't been used for 12 months. So there's room to be made all over there. Okay. The whole, if there's a din suffik the rabbana lakula, there's certainly suffik minig is also lakula. There's a problematic chasam sefer. There are many tshuvas in the chasam sefer where he assumes a davar pashut that the din deraisa is more chomer than a din the rabbana, and a din the rabbana is more chomer than a minig al pi pashtus. And there's one tshuva that the chasam sefer says the reverse, because chasam sefer says suffik minig is lechumra, because minig is mitam neder. That's the gemara in the dorm that says what minig is binding mitam neder, and neder is a din derais. it's very difficult. The pashtus is a neder is a din derais. If a person pronounces a neder with his lips, nefesh kisushava levate bisvasayim, it says by shvuah. But most of the rishonim we pass on halacha apply carries over to neder also. Neder neshuah need levate bisvasayim. But gomba beliba, if he just made up his mind, he's going to follow this midas chassidus tzoch lehotzi bisvasam. Calls money doesn't pronounce a neder with his lips, so it's not binding. So the whole din in the Gemara that a minik toiv is binding b'tam neder, that itself is only mid the rabbanim. So that's a difficult Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer is talking, he lived at the beginning of the Reform Movement. So when they first started picking on Minhagim. So they didn't like it that the Chassam marches down the aisle with a kittel. Shouldn't wear a kittel. Because the goyim are going to laugh. The goyim are going to laugh. They used to get married outside in the street. Dachas kibbutz arakia, the goyim are going to laugh. So they had some governors, non-Jewish governors, wanted to watch a Jewish wedding. So he's asking, what's that and why do that, why do that? What a beautiful minik. The goyish governor thought that it's a beautiful minik. They wear a kittel to get a kapara, to have a mechilas habanas, yaskeleon misa. They thought it was beautiful. The Reform didn't like it. So the Reform first started picking. Then they did away with Kol Nidre, because it's a chil Hashem. The goyim say in business, all the Jews are crooked because they say Kol Nidre, and any commitments that they made to business associates, they don't observe their commitments because they're Mataned, they're on Erev Yom Kippur, they say Kol Nidre. Maybe there were such Jews who violated their gangsters among the Jews like among any other nation. There are gangsters, but it has nothing to do with Kol Nidre. Nothing to do with Kol Nidre. So the first they started picking on in fact, the Maram Shik was a Talmud of the Chassam Sofer. During the lifetime of Chassam Sofer, the Reform just began. The main battle was after the Chassam Sofer died. So his son, the Ksav Sofer, and his Talmud, the Maram Shik, they were waging the war in Hungary. So the Maram Shik writes that in the last Reform convention, rabbinical convention, they decided to do away with Kol Nidre, and they decided to allow intermarriage. So he says, he's not going to fight on the intermarriage. That's ridiculous. That's not going to last. They're going to back out from that. He's only going to fight about the Kol Nidre. The Kol Nidre, that you got to fight. It didn't occur to him that more than 50% of the Jews are intermarried now. Yeah. So they first started picking on Minhagim. And then they figured first you'll do away with a couple of Minhagim, and then we'll do away with all of them. We'll allow the Kohanim to marry Grushas, and we'll allow everything. So that's where the Chassam Sofer put his foot down. He said, no, a Sofik Minig is Lechumer, because it's a different context. Not this kind of a Minig that the Reform are fighting against. So that's what he meant. You have to go Lechumer on that. What's another example of Basav Cholod Rabbanon? If you made cheese, what is milk? Milk is over 60% H2O. Most of the milk is water. But it has all the curds mixed in. So if you removed all the curds and you made cheese, and what's left behind is mamish, plain water, that's called meimei cholov. When you make cheese, what's left behind is mei cholov. So some hold that that's cholov in Torah. But then you take that whey, W-H-E-Y, when you take that whey and you make cheese from that way, then you're left mamish with plain water, with H2O water. So that's paravim and atur. That's only milchig mederabon. There was one rabbi who thought that that mecholov is whey is only milchig mederabon lechatchila, but it doesn't aser b'diavad. That's against the whole Shulchan Aruch. The rabbi didn't know Yeridei. Yeah. That's beferish in the Shulchan Aruch, that there was a story that all of the Beis Yankif in a certain community was making a Malava Malka, fundraising Malava Malkas. They were inviting all the parents to come and everything. So each girl had to cook some chicken at home. So fry some chicken at home for the Malava Malka. So one of the girls made the chicken with margarine. And she didn't realize that it was milchig margarine. She thought all margarine was parva. She was using margarine that had whey in it. It didn't have milk and it had whey in it. So this rabbi thought that the whey is only asa lechatchila, but it doesn't asa b'diavad. But that's incorrect. It says beferish that the whey asa is b'diavad. This din that once you removed all the curds, then the H2O is parva and atar is only milchig mederabanan. So what about when everything is all together? Darkei Tshuva has the following shayla: if you have a sofik deraisa lechumra and a sofik derabana lekula, so let's say you, as a case, I cook meat and milk, and it could be that I have shishim against the milk and the meat. We're not sure how to calculate, have a big pot full of meat, and you pour it in a certain amount of milk. So someone, one of the gedolim suggested 65% of the milk is H2O. So that's only fleishig midirab. That's only milchig midirabonim and a teres paravim. So as far as that's concerned, you have a sofik if you have shishim about the keneged, the whole milk. That's only midirabonim. So sofik midirabonim lekula. And the part that's the curds is a small amount. That I know for sure I have shishim. I don't have shishim. I'm not sure if I have shishim against the whole volume of all the milk that I poured in. But I know that I have shishim against the percentage of the milk that constitutes the curds. So is that called sofik derabanan lekula? So the Dar Kedushin says, no, kozman, the milk is attached the way it comes out from the cow. Kozman, the milk is attached with the H2O, with the plain old water. That's milk min haTorah. When you separate it, when you remove all the curds, so then the mei mechala becomes paravim. But kozman, it's attached, is milchig min haTorah. So that's the shah. When is it considered attached and when is it considered detached? So when you make cheese and you took out all the curds, then you took the whey and you made cheese from that, and mom is left with mei mechalav, it doesn't taste like milk at all. So that's paravim min haTorah. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank has the following tshuva. They're cooking milk. There's some flesh hanging up. There's some salami hanging on a hook on the wall. And they're cooking milk, and the milk is evaporating. And the evaporating, the steam from the milk is going up and getting nivla into the flesh on top. And when they realize that, they stop. So at the time that they realize, they're not sure whether the steam, when it touched the meat, was it yatza lettuce bowl? So then it's nivla into the meat, and maybe it's not a yatza lettuce bowl. Maybe it's not yatza lettuce. When you're cooking water in a kettle, so if you put your hand right on top of the spout of the kettle, you can burn your hand. That's mamash yatza lettuce. That's worse. That's yad nichlis bowl, scalding hot. But then, as it goes higher and higher, as the steam goes higher, it cools off. So let's say we're not sure. They didn't realize. At the time that they notice that the steam from the milk is hitting the salami that's hanging on the wall, they didn't check to see whether the steam is yatza lettuce or not. So maybe we should, that's Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank has the children, maybe we should say that since the milk evaporated, the curds don't evaporate, only the H2O evaporates, the chelik hamayim shabo, what evaporates. So the chelik hamayim is part of the menatar, it's only milchig with the rabbanon. Maybe you should say sofik da'abona l'kula. It's a sofik, whether it was yatzalet, is where they made the flesh drape. So Tzvi Pesach Frank thinks that it's not correct. He thinks that kozman, the curds are together with the water, everything is dinuk in milk. And since the steam is coming up from the milk, the pot has the milk there, the steam is coming up, it's still attached. Even though the steam clearly is detached from the curds, but since it's a straight column of steam, he thinks that should still be dinuk in milk min haTorah. Okay, there's such a din by dam also. If you leave, the Gemara says in Kisei Adam, if you leave blood in the sun, you leave blood for long enough, so the red corpuscles will separate, and then you're going to have the plasma. So the Gemara said the plasma is not dina kidam. The Rambam writes, if you eat dam, if you eat a kazayis dam yaloika, that's a question. Why? Rashi also writes like that. Why should it be kazayis? Why shouldn't it be revias? So that's a discussion in Rishonim and Achronim, but the Shir is Kazayis. So let's say you have a Kazayis dam, but a certain percentage of the dam is plain old H2O, so they have to drink so much dam that you swallow the Kazayis of the blood of the reddish part is the plasma mitzarf. So that's what the Ragachava has. The Kozman, that it's all together, it's all Dina Kedam. When it separates, when you leave it in the sun, and then the plasma will separate from the red part. So then the plasma is only dam midirabbanan. It's not dam min haTorah. Because when it's together, it is. The same is true regarding whole wheat bread. You have to eat a kazayis in order to bench birchas hamazon. So if you have whole wheat, they leave in the shells, they leave the mursin in. So the Mishnah in Challah says, if you grind up the kernels of grain with the shell, so everything is mitztarf to the shear. But if you separate the shells, then you throw them back in, then it's not mitzarif to the shear. Kozman, the shell is together naturally, so the whole thing is dina kidogon. Apparently, the shell is not boli dechimutz, so it really shouldn't be. It really shouldn't make a din of lechem. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that when you buy whole wheat bread, the whole wheat flour, they tell you what percentage of the flour is the shell, and it doesn't correspond to what it's supposed to be. So the answer is, obviously, they took out all the shells and they threw back a certain percentage of the shells. They didn't throw back the whole percentage. They threw back less than the full amount. So he says, then it's not mitzarif to the shear kezayis. That's also such a din like that. Igmar has a din with the Rabbanan that you're not allowed to make fleshik bread or milchik bread, because bread is usually, years ago, bread used to be eaten with... Bread was a staple of every meal. People would eat bread all the time. Today, by us, but people only eat bread on Shabbos and Yantam when they're having a fleshik meal. So maybe if the Tanoim would live in our generation, maybe they never make such a gzerah derabban. But they made the gzerah at the time. Until recently, people ate slices of bread in every meal. They ate an awful lot of bread. So they made a din, you're not allowed to make fleshik bread or milchik bread. And if you did, you're not allowed to eat the fleshik bread even with flesh, and not allowed to eat the milchik bread even with milchiks. Because we're afraid that you may make a mistake and eat it with the other meal. Rav Soloveitchik used to think, his opinion was that you're not allowed to make milchik cakes either. Because if you eat enough cake, if you kaveh sud on the cake, then you have to say, you have to wash until the time say hamoitzin, say birch samozin. So you see that the cake is a form of pas. It's a subcategory of pas. We call it pas abobikistan, but it's a subcategory of pas. But that's not the accepted opinion. In Shulchan Aruch, the Pischei Tshuva quotes that since it's not normally done, people a lot of times will eat, years ago, people will eat bread with the milk, people will eat bread with the flesh. So if it's fleshy bread, you eat it with the cheese, and you have milky bread, you eat it with the flesh. And you're adding the fleshiks and milchiks together. They weren't cooked together, but you're eating together. But this is very rare that people eat the cake. You're going to have milchi cake, eat it with the flesh. Little children a lot of times do like that. They don't want to eat the meat, so you give them a little cake, a little meat. By little babies, you do like that. But by adults, they never eat. They only serve the cake after the whole meal is all over. So since there's no chashash, it's going to be eaten together, so the generally accepted opinion is that it's mutter to make milchi cakes. Only don't allow milchi bread. So the Gemara says, if there's no chashash that you make a mistake, you made it ke'ein tura, like the eye of an ox, ke'ein tura, then it's mutter. What does that mean, ke'ein tura? So there are two perushim, Rashi and the Rambam, and we pass them both lehokil. One kula is, if it has a shinui in the shape, it doesn't look like a normal loaf of bread. I made it like the eye of an ox, a strange shape. So, that shape, I know that's a fleshig loaf of bread, and that's a milchig loaf of bread, like Thomas muffins. So muffins all used to be milchig. So everybody knew, if it's a muffin, you know that it's milchig. Today it's a problem, because now they make parva muffins. So maybe now the milchig muffins are treif. Years ago, all the muffins were milchig. So everybody knew, if it has that shape, it's milchig. Now it's a problem. Now it's a problem. Now it's an issue. So that's one pshat. Kein tura means if you have a shinui in the tzura of the pasta. And the other opinion is kein tura, if the balabasta baked it for supper, freshly baked the rolls for supper, and it's only enough to finish supper, a small amount. We know it's all going to be finished. We're not going to leave anything over for tomorrow. So if it's a small amount, you just baked it now. It doesn't help that you go to the bakery, you go to the store, and you buy a bag that has 100 loaves of bread, and each loaf of bread is tiny. That doesn't help, each loaf of bread is tiny. It means if the balabasta baked it specially for supper, and she's serving fleshiks for supper, and she made these breads fleshik, and you know she knows that she's going to finish everything in supper, then there's no chashash that it's going to be left over for tomorrow. So we'll make alam both in Shulchan Aruch. We have a minute to wait 6 hours between fleshiks and milchiks. The Gemara says that that's a midas chasidus. That's a minute. So the Pischei Tshuva quotes a Chasam Sofer that if a person has a sickness and drinking milk will alleviate the pain that he has, so you don't have to wait 6 hours. In order to violate a minig, he thinks even a mechesh bi'alma is sufficient. But then he's machmed in order to have fleishik, in order to have milchiks within an hour after having had the fleishiks. The Zohar says that that's a real din midirabbanan. So to be matar, a real lisa dirabbanan, you have to be a cholusha embo sakona. So that would only be mutad to drink milchiks within an hour if the father is a cholusha embo sakona. But if he waited 1 hour, just to make the 6 hours, since it's only a minik, so for that, Chassam Sofer thinks that it's enough if he has a mechesh b'yalma. We have a minik that if you eat hot cheese, that you have to wait 6 hours before you have fleishiks. What's the definition of hot cheese? So what we call American cheese, and then in the industry, they don't consider that cheese at all. That's a joke. That's not considered cheese. Hot cheese means the real cheese, the fancy cheese that you have worms crawling in. The worms are kosher. You have worms crawling in, and it was sitting for 6 months to make that cheese. So some of our Parmesan, I think, is like that. Some people have these fancy cheeses. But the plain American cheese that people have, that's not Dina Kigvina at all. In Shulchan Aruch it says if you have a fleishig tapshil, you don't have to wait 6 hours, but then the Ramah says the minig is not so. The minig is that you do wait 6 hours, but it's only called a fleishig tapshil. Means like this. If you made a kugel and you poured in schmaltz on purpose, you put in schmaltz in order that it should taste schmaltzy. You want the kugel to taste better. But let's say, the Shach says, let's say you made French fries and you have a big pot full of oil, burning hot oil, and they roast the chicken in the oil. And he doesn't want to have another pot of oil to do the French fries in. He wants to save money. Why should he spend money to have a fleishig pot of oil and a private pot of oil? He's going to make the French fries in the same pot of oil. He's not really interested in giving the flavor of the flesh into the French fries. Probably will give a little bit of flavor, but neither the storekeeper nor the customer is interested. He wants just plain old French fries. So even though there's no shishim against the flesh in the oil, Shach says there you don't have to wait 12 hours because he wasn't really interested. Wasn't really interested in that. Yeah, on Shavuos, the Ramah writes a minig that we have a milchig meal, and then in the middle we switch and you have fleishiks. So you have fleishiks and milchiks in the same meal.
If you have the meat in that same oil, doesn't some of the schmaltz of the fleish get into the oil?
Yeah, it will go in the oil, and you don't have shishim against it. So there is going to be a tam of the flesh in the French fries, but since he wasn't really interested in that, when you make a kugel and you pour in schmaltz because he wanted to have the flavor of the schmaltz, so that's a tapshil shel basa, and you have the minig is that you wait 6 hours. The din is you don't have to, and the minig is you wait 6 hours. But if you weren't really interested in giving the French fries the flavor of the chicken or the flesh, just you don't want to spend more money to have another vat of another frying pan with to make a deep fry of the French fries. So since you weren't interested, even though there's no shishim against the flesh, you don't have to wait 6 hours. Unless there's a concern that there may be some particles of flesh on the French fries. But if there are no particles of flesh, just has the oil, and the oil has a fleshy tam, so that doesn't require to wait 6 hours. The Gemara never says that you're not allowed to have milchiks and fleshiks in the same meal. The Gemara just says you have to brush your teeth and rinse out your mouth in between. So on Shavuos, many people have the practice for many centuries that they have milchiks, then they brush their teeth, they wash out, then they have fleshiks in the same meal. So many are concerned, but the Zohar seems to say that you're not allowed to have fleshiks and milchiks, besuda achas. So what they'll do is they'll bench and they'll brush out their teeth, rinse out their mouth, and then they'll wash again and they'll say hamoitzi, and then they'll have the fleshig. So this is the question, according to the Shulchan Aruch, that's going brach shena tzvicha. He said birchas hamazon twice. He could have covered the whole meal with one birchas hamazon. What do you have to say another hamoitz? What do you have to say another on until it's yadayim? According to the nigla, he could have done everything covered with one meal. He wants to be choshish for the Kabbalah. So that's the question, is that an issue of going brach shena tzvicha? He's going to wash and make a separate meal for the fleshigs later on, not to violate the Zohar. So that's a discussion the Achrayim have. The Lama Lohel talks about that. Lama Lohel was an Ungarisher, but he was in Germany. He was in Hildesheim Seminary. There's a very strange Taz in Yerideya. He talks about Gzera L'Gzera. Usually we assume in the Gemara that Chacham have no right to make a Gzera L'Gzera. You have to have a serious concern to make a Gzera D'Rabban. So the Taz implies, let's say, you had the... Or be an example of Gzera L'Gzera. Let's say you have chicken, and the chicken was not cooked with the milk. You're just having a sandwich, chicken and cheese at the same time. So that's a Gzera L'Gzera. That Menatar, it's only us if it's flesh. If it's chicken, it's only the Rabbanon. And if it's not cooked together, it's only the Rabbanon. So that's a Gzera L'Gzera. So the Shach disagrees with the Taz. You can't make up your own Gzera L'Gzeras. And most of the Achranim say he's wrong for different reasons. That's not Gzera L'Gzera. That's a trade the Rabbanon. Trade the Rabbanon, Shvus de Shvus, on Shabbos we say. A Shvus de Shvus is not Mutter. Shvus de Shvus, Maka Mitzvah is Mutter. Shalom Maka Mitzvah is Asa. Trade the Rabbanon is Asa. Gzera L'Gzera means if what motivated the Chachamim to make a Gzera de Rabbanon was that they're concerned someone's going to violate an Avera de Rabbanon, that's insufficient Tzorech. You can only make a Gzera de Rabbanon if you have a Tzorech Gadol. If you have a Tzorech Katan, then you have no right to make a Gzera. So if the whole motivation to make the Gzera is that they're concerned someone's going to violate an Avera de Rabbanon, then you have no right to make a Gzera. That's Gzera L'Gzera. But this, they made one Gzera that chicken is fleshy. Then they made another Gzera, even if they're not cooked together. You're eating them together. So that's a trade de Rabbanon. That's not called a Gzera L'Gzera. Each Gzera is made otu deraisa. So that's what many Acharonim disagree with that Taz. The Nesivos has a tshuva, and Rabbi Kevega has a tshuva, and others, the Sfasemes has. If you ask them, they all say the same thing. The chilek between a gzera l'gzera and a trade d'rabbanan. They have the story about Rav Chaim Volozhiner that a woman, by mistake, cut the onions with a milchik knife. And the Gemara says they have a dover chareif. So we're machme, even though the knife wasn't used in the last 24 hours, it's still is considered dover chareif. If you're cutting a davar charif, it doesn't matter what the bliya was, if you're cutting a davar charif, it makes it into the shvach. And even though it's a nat banat, so when Mahmed had nat banat, is not room to be makel by davar charif. So if you cut the onions with a milchig knife and then you cook it with the fleshiks, so we say that that should make treif. So a woman came to Rav Chaim Volozhiner and he was in the yeshiva, and she asked him, she's a poor woman, and she prepared the food for Shabbos. And everything became treif. So he asked her whether the onions were black-shelled or brown-shelled. So she said, no, they were brown-shelled. They're no black-shelled onions where they lived. So he said that you can be mekel, it's mutter. So she thanked him and she ran out. She was afraid he was going to change his mind. So she ran out. She got a heta. So then after she left, so the Talmidim asked the Rav Chaim Volozhiner, where did he come up with this? That there's a difference between black-shelled and brown-shelled. So he says, Le'olam, he doesn't agree with the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch Paskin is that onions are davar charif. He thinks that the din really is only chiltis, only a very sharp vegetable. Onion is not as sharp as others, so he thinks it's room to make. But you can't go against the Machab. Machab writes in Shulchan Aruch that it's us. But he says, Rabbi Yisrael Kar lived in Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael, the onions are black shelled. And as we all know, people who have dark hair are sharper than people who have blonde hair. I don't know, is that true? So he said, he has a Pasuk and Navi that says like that. So, Pasuk and Navi. So he said, so since the Mechaber is only talking about onions and Eretz Yisrael, Mechaber lived in Tzvat, so onions and Eretz Yisrael are black jam. So for this woman, you could be make. Okay. That's Rabbanim have to know how to be mekel sometimes in a big Shans HaTchak. If you washed your dishes in a dishwasher, so if you wash the fleshig dishes, so the flesh is going to make everything fleshig. Then you're going to wash the milchig dishes, so the fleshig ablia is going to come out and make the dishes treif if it's still a ben yomo, so that's going to be a problem. So l'chatchila we don't do that. What a bit of yabba the person did it, so then the poskim will say that if you have detergent shooting out with different kinds of dishwashers. Sometimes the first rinse washes off the surface schmaltz, the gook on the plates, without any detergent. And other dishwashers are manufactured in such a way that the detergent shoots out the first time as well. So the poskim assume, like it says in Shulchan Aruch, that if you have detergent, when the fleshig bli is going to go in, or the milchig bli is going to go in, it's going to be nice and tam legam from the very outset. So that's b'di'evid. There's room to be meikel. Okay, should all be careful about basa mechala. Shabbat shalom.
Somebody cooks, somebody cuts an onion with a dairy knife. Yeah. And puts it in a